Welcome back to another episode of AMR, the podcast. Pew, 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 pew.
Because tech difficulties mean we had to do it old school, but it's cool because we're here.
Yeah.
The voice you're hearing is Mo, she, her pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, the Chocolate Chip Podcaster.
And I am Keeks, they, them pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, your favorite trans podcaster.
Yeah, yeah. So this is season 6, episode 63.
Yes.
The movie of this episode is Ex Machina. That's, of course, because we're doing the A24 season for season 6.
Yes. Very excited for this movie and to talk about it, honestly, because I never seen it. I remember, like, the promotions for it. I just never...
Missions. I remember.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, okay, y'all are on some futuristic... robotic shit. Like, I get that. Cool shit.
Cool shit. But, let's see.
Like,
so what do your lenses look like for the season?
My lenses for the season are going to be in honor of the silent genocide that's happening in the Congo. So it's going to be off of the Congo flag, which is the red triangle. And then I have a nose bridge of yellow, and then the green triangle, nose bridge of yellow, red triangle, and then it has the hanging resistance fist on the legs of the glasses. What do your lens look like?
So mine are with the multiple genocides with happening. So I have the iridescent sliced watermelon disco balls, and that is for Sudan and for Palestine, and then my left leg is blue and yellow for the Congo, and then I have a right leg that's green and yellow for Tigray. And of course, our plug for this season is solidarity with the people. We're wishing freedom on all those oppressed.
Yeah. No one's free till everyone's free.
That's it. Okay, so the year is 2014. I started last time with facts. Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Word.
So 2014 is the International Year of Solidarity with the Palestinian People.
Wow.
Look, I said, what?
Okay.
You guys could go in there and read up on, because it was a lot of information, and I don't want to just like pew, 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 because you're not going to be able to digest it. But you guys can go on there and read the resolutions, of what was decided during 2014. I will mention that they did have calls for the withdrawal of Israel from Palestinian territory, the realization of the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people, and a call upon states to not recognize any changes to the pre-1967 borders. So look it up, read up on it. That's something to consider. But yeah.
Let me tell you how I love you, babe. Are you ready for my first fact?
Let's go.
July 8th, Operation Protective Edge goes into effect. It is a military operation launched by Israel on Palestine, on the Gaza Strip. This is the start of a 7-week-long conflict because they fought back, like, right?
Yeah.
And they said this was one of the deadliest outbreaks of open conflict between Israel and the Palestinians in decades. And it was mostly Palestinians who were killed. Of course, they, most of the information kind of seems to lean towards one side as far as, and we know that the victors of war tend to be able to rewrite, right? So the way that they said things definitely was in sympathy towards one side. But when they named or when they numbered the dead and injured, it was on another side. So freedom to the oppressed people. My facts get lighter-ish after this. What's your second?
Mine get lighter-ish as well. So April 27th, the Catholic Church simultaneously canonizes Pope John 23rd and John Paul II. So canonized means like they promote you to saint status, right? So I was like, let me see what these niggas did. What because y'all that? Promoted y'all promoted Teresa Ooh. To saint status.
Oh.
And I was like, y'all be fucking up. So I was like, what did Pope John the 23rd do?
Wait, Pope John the 23rd. Does that mean you feel like Mother Teresa wasn't supposed to be Mother Teresa? Shit, let me research.
Look, there's a lot of shit on her.
Okay, like, I don't know her history. Let me
mind you, I'm not Catholic and I'm Southern Baptist, but Kojic really. But
I am
like,
not Catholic, but I was raised in a Catholic city. So.
Look, so I was like, okay, so who are these people you guys are sanctifying? Pope John the 23rd helped a lot of refugees during the Holocaust and World War II, mostly Jewish people. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. There's like a list on Wikipedia of like a short list of like the things that he's done during World War II, during the Holocaust. But then it was like, he helped support the establishment of Israel. Zionist. So I was like, okay.
At the time, at the time everybody was like, you know, the best. Do you know what I learned recently? That what? They had potentially thought about putting Israel in Africa.
Yeah, they had actually, it was Africa and South America that they had places for where they wanted to establish.
They had different Jewish places. State.
So
the map, and they said
really
and
weird.
It was white people who were already there, who were colonizing, who were like, they would displace us. So the only reason they didn't get put in these places that had more people of color is because the colonizers who were there would have been displaced by these other white people because they would have taken priority, right?
Mm.
Wild times.
Look,
I'm sorry.
So annoying.
You keep going. I'm with you.
Then we have John Paul II, and I was like, okay. He condemns abortion, contraception, and homosexual acts. He says they are gravely sinful.
I love being gravely sinful then.
Look, he was criticized for not responding quickly enough to the Catholic sex abuse crisis after decades. He only responded after his photo was infamously torn up on a 1992 episode of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, Sinead O'Connor? That's the one who tore up the picture. Bye. That's exactly what it was.
And then he opposes liberation theology, which is Christian theological approach emphasizing the liberation of oppressed people. So
why hell, are we sanctifying that?
Look, hell and make it Christian, because that's where y'all going. I was like, okay, y'all just
give it out to anybody, eh?
Look. what is your second fact?
Okay, mine is May 1st. Hundreds marched through the Nigerian capital calling for the release of schoolgirls abducted by the Islamic militants Boko Haram.
I almost had that one.
We are girls.
Yes, I almost had
that one. It was the first time that I had seen the world unified for Black girls, especially not Americans, but like focused in a way that I had never, ever, ever seen before. And when people were trying to be like, oh, this is fake, like, you know, they really did have, you know, some real shit going on. Boko Haram was founded in 2002. So yeah, 2014, they had already done a whole lot of damage.
Yeah.
But they had been torn down, picked back up, doing whatever. And by 2009, they had an insurgency, right? And then at that point, they started killing tens of thousands of people. They were attacking the police. They were attacking armed forces and they were attacking civilians. It resulted in the death of more than 300,000 children and displaced more than 2.3 million people from their homes. Wow. So for me, when I was hearing them, you know, or like seeing online people trying to discredit this being a real thing that needs to be paid attention to, it felt like they were trying to say that Black girls didn't matter or like Black people didn't matter, because
definitely
the girls who were returned home, it was amazing for that. But the fact that Boko Haram is still an active terrorist group.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Like
they forgot you know what I mean? Like, they got most of the girls home. The heat was on them. They were like, oh, what the fuck? And then they, and literally Boko Haram just was like, they were founded about a bunch of shit. But the reason that they went after those girls specifically is because they were against the Western education system. So the fact that these Muslim girls were going in and going to school and potentially going to be going to college and things like that, they were upset about that. So, like, that is where that came from.
I just feel like there are steps, though, like, that you can take before you just start kidnapping.
And the other thing is that this came to my attention, and I knew that it was happening in Nigeria because that's where they said that it's based. But it's also active in Chad, Niger, Northern Cameroon, and Mali.
Mm.
So this stuff I did not know, and it was wild to me that we just forgot about our girls. We forgot about bringing people home. We forgot about the fact that there's other displaced people. And
yeah.
Hashtag, right? Ooh. Mm. Crazy.
Wild.
What's your last fact?
Excuse me. My last fact is May 5th, the World Health Organization identifies the spread of poliomyelitis in at least 10 countries as a major worldwide health emergency. First off, that's the full name for polio. Didn't know that because I was I was like, okay. But polio is a very infectious disease spread through fecal oral transmission and sometimes oral transmission, which could be from like poor hygiene or contaminated food or water. 75% of the cases are asymptomatic, and the common symptoms pass 1 to 2 weeks. But then you could also get like post-polio syndrome years after you've recovered from polio, which like...
It's like long COVID.
Yeah.
Wow.
Polio also only occurs in humans. I don't like that. I'm not too keen on that. Not too keen. Mention that only because a few countries have polio coming back. In the Americas, we eradicated polio in 1994. We had a July 2022 case in New York from an unvaccinated patient. And in October, the CDC found more polio in the wastewater in 5 New York counties. And the Western Pacific countries, China, Australia included, they eliminated polio in 2000. Then a 3-year-old caught polio in September 2019. That ended in 2021.
They send their babies out into the world uninoculated, and they be and then turn around and be like, "Oh, shock, girls! I don't know what happened."
And I'm just like, "What?" But Malaysia also had a case in December 2019. 3 cases that ended in 2021. So, like, just you know, there's no cure. And like, I don't know if y'all remember the pictures. I don't know if y'all are old enough. The iron lung. Like, we got portable ventilators now, but like, that's still scary as fuck.
Yeah.
So, like.
And, like, we just watched an episode of a TV show where the person got exposed to a different type of plague. It wasn't bubonic. It was pneumonia.
That's the only one I know.
Baby. Apparently, there's 3 kinds of plagues. I said, bitch, what? And then the biochemist turned around and tweaked this goddamn pneumonic plague to make it so that it was not susceptible to antibiotics. So you had to just have it, and then it gave you the same fighting chance that people had when there were no medicines way back in the G, right? So in the 15th, 16th century, when pneumonic plague was taking people out, now you have to have the fighting chances of that, is what they were saying. And the doctor's like, well, what's the fighting chance? What was the survival rate back then? 15%.
And that actually reminded me, we have a lot of antibiotic resistant
strains of things that are popping up, right?
I'm tired.
Biochemist help from what we know. They're just like, mutating on their own.
I don't want to.
So good. Okay. My last fact is August 19th, 2014, NASA satellites take photos showing that the eastern basin of the Aral Sea has dried up for the first time ever in history.
No!
So this is between Kazakhstan to its north and Uzbekistan to its south. And it is formerly the fourth largest lake in the world with an area of 26,300 square miles. I was going to say feet, square miles. And it started shrinking in the 1960s after the rivers that fed to it were diverted to Soviet irrigation projects. Mm-hmm. So Soviet, of course, is still USSR. But then mm-hmm. when they started taking pictures of it in like the 90s, they was like, hey, hey, hey. And then, you know, USSR, communism, whatever, that goes away. They did not undivert the waters. So in 2014, it completely dried up. And now the Eastern Basin is called the Arlkum Desert.
Losing recipes. Because what the fuck?
You can walk across it. There are boats in the middle of it. Boats that sank when it was the biggest, the fourth largest lake largest in the world. Boats that was at the bottom of that lake, you can sit on them.
That's scary as fuck.
Crazy.
I'm tired. Yeah,
I'm tired. I'm tired. Look,
I can't. Like, I'm tired of living through major historical events. Like,
I don't want.
Can we take a break?
Unprecedented. Can things be precedented? Press it. So fucking good. I'm so good. God damn. Oh, all right. Anyway, so we did our plug and we did our lenses, so we can go ahead and hop directly into the movie. Like, again.
What was your rating?
I gave this movie a 7.75 out of 10.
I gave it a 5 out of 10.
Ooh. Not bad. You always. Okay, let's get into it.
It's gotten so much higher, but the last few minutes just
it ruined
it for me. It like
real fucking
oh my god. Okay. What are your categories?
Okay, so I had girl, what's happening?
Cause what?
I had now what the fuck? Because what? I had AI glitch or not. I had ooh and probably true.
Okay.
What were yours?
I had whitest shit ever. I had ooh, they doing something they ain't supposed to. I had nah, nigga, nah. I had robot apocalypse because I was ready. And then I have LOL.
Okay, because things were just funny. Okay, so that makes our ranking a 6.375 out of 10. My ass. We're not far off from the general census. IMDb gave it a 7.7 out of 10, and Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 92%. I really think Rotten Tomatoes be doing the fucking most. Like, you guys,
that's the audience.
I'm about to verify right now, because I really just feel like maybe you guys are being dramaticals. But it's not far off. This. Huh? Oh, okay. Do I have to search from it from here? No, I don't. I just have to zoom. Okay, so the audience score is an 86%. The reviewers, Rotten Tomatoes, gave it 92%.
Oh, the critics. Y'all need put us on your team.
Hire us.
Like, come on.
Yeah, because the movie, it like, realistically, I felt like this was the prequel to some shit we already saw. And this is why. So it was Ex Machina, then it was iRobot, then it was Nine.
Oh my god!
If we can't release Nine because it was a horrible. We could re-review it as like a bonus or something, because that's what this is. Like, that's all this was. Ex Machina was showing us how we got to the point of AI things being a part of our regular life, and that's iRobot. And then iRobot is when the machines really decided to stop being like docile and wearing, you know, they took their skins off because it was like, we don't want to look like you guys, whatever. And then now they turn up and you have people like Will Smith who never fucked with them, and it was all analog in his house, able to combat them. And then they wisened up and they beat our asses, and there's none of us left in Nine.
I like that theory. I really I love the way it flows too.
That's part of the reason that I gave the movie a 7.75, because I was like, oh dog, And it wasn't, it's unfair maybe because it's not based off of this movie, but like that felt what? You gave your categories?
Yeah. You want them again?
Yes, please.
Okay. It was whitest shit ever.
Yes.
Ooh, they doing something they ain't supposed to. Nah, nigga, nah. Robot apocalypse and LOL.
Okay. Fitting. Love her.
Yeah. It was just, I was rocking with this. I was rocking with this movie for a little bit. Because, like, the whitest shit ever category came up because we talked about this off record, but we were like, oh, okay, this is a anime movie that, like, got adapted. And those always go left. Like, they are never as good as, and I didn't even, like, read up on the anime movie. But I was like, okay, if this is an Asian movie, why am I staring at this white boy?
That's so, it.
And I was like,
because, like, the anime is called Appleseed Ekusu Makina, because you remember we looked that up before. So then to make it, like, they definitely, and then it changed into Appleseed E.X Makina. And then, you know, so this is 2004 with the original, 2007 when it goes into its, like, sequels. And then 2014 when they make the whitewash movie.
And it just, I feel like maybe if you had an Asian cast, this maybe would have hit. And it just, it did it for me because of the whole white man and AI was given slavery. And the fact that it was a white man who made female robots, very misogynistic, because they were serving you. Even like Ava, for the longest, only thing that was available, like solid, was her ass and tits. And I was just like, that's weird. Why would you make everything else translucent?
Yes. And like, okay, so Ava is played by Alicia Vikander, right? Swedish actress. Turns out she got some stuff to her name. But I felt like her movements were wonderful. I loved the way that she portrayed. I thought that that was great. There was a lot of money put into her looking the way that she did. Budget, it was $15 million, but they used it wisely. They did not have a whole bunch of cast that they needed to give into. I thought it was interesting also that Nathan, the owner of this company, who's played by Oscar Isaac, he is this weird, demented, almost Steve Jobs, like the whole, I mean, not Steve Jobs. What's that man name? Elon Musk.
I wouldn't even give him that much because Elon Musk is not, he's just a rich apartheid dude. Like you got money off of slavery. I would give, I don't know what it is, but like the fact that he was just like, oh, this powerhouse, big brain technological man that was like, oh, I wrote this big ass coding book that was like brilliant at 13. And I'm just like,
was the nod to Elon Musk, because Elon Musk made like a computer or something, like he reprogrammed a computer or some shit when he was like 13. And I feel like financially for you to be able to do that, like in my mind, this character's backstory was comparable to his, because you have to have money to be able to sit down and have that be your free time. Right? Like, not everybody has access to that kind of thing. But it was just interesting to me, like you said, that he was making female AI bodies. When it comes out later and he has the, you know, Caleb is able to see the video of the other ones that have come out because now he cares for Ava. I thought it was interesting that he chose different races. He had gone through different things. It was fetishizing, right?
And then
at the end, what I noticed was that when he had these bodies saved, the only one that was headless was
the black one. Pissed me off because I was like, what the fuck is this?
So,
and then not to mention that during those videos, they were all naked. It was
no one was ever clothed.
No one. And the fact, even Ava's brain, like you can only see her face. Her brain wasn't even visible. So, like, you literally made sex toys. That's what it felt like. I was like, this white man is creating robotic sex toys
to use as he please. Cognizant enough to be like, they didn't want to be there. When that first scene and you saw, like, the split glass, I was like, oh, what the fuck is that? When I noticed that Ava and Caleb, who's played by
I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I don't want to
mention it. He's a Nepo baby, though.
He's a nepo baby. I was like, oh, and his daddy and his brother's an actor too. But turns out this dude was a beast on his own, right? So him coming into the acting game, he didn't have to. He was already directing and doing things. But he played Bill Weasley in Harry Potter.
I don't think I was that much of
The
a
last two Harry Potter, this is only because of research, but I thought it was interesting when he called him out and was like, why did you make them female? And he was like, well, how would AI interact with each other? Okay, cool, but you could have made it anything. It could have been an AI Bob.
My thing is, because he was like, why did you make him a gender? Why couldn't you make him male? What was the problem with making them male?
Why
Like,
couldn't they
but
be eunuchs? They didn't need to have gender at all, right? They could have just
he
been.
it was weird. And
It
the
was
fact
weird.
that he was like, oh, I programmed Ava to be heterosexual, nigga.
That's crazy.
What?
She's gonna, like, if AI is gonna pick up, let AI pick. And that's the other thing. Like, me and Babe were talking about it recently, where I just feel like some of these things that some of these trends that are going on Twitter, where they want to see you 15 years ago and like, what did you look like senior year of high school? And look at you now. 30 plus Twitter, where you at? 40 plus Twitter, where you at? 50 plus Twitter, where you
Oh
at?
yeah, they're
They're
mining.
trying to get faces. They're trying to see, like, they're not just, and that's why one of my categories was probably true, because when he said he was collecting data illegally off of cell phones and that the cell phone companies knew that he was doing it, but they could not call him out on it without admitting that they were doing it too, I was like, that's probably
Probably.
true. Everybody has a camera on their cell phone, and now we have cameras where, like, on or off, it's just always fake, like front and back. It's doing, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, why wouldn't it be picking up on your information? Why not?
I don't like the way he was. I don't like the character of Nathan. Mind you, I like the what was his name?
The
It was
actor,
Oscar.
Isaac.
Yes, because I was like, I know his face. First off, pretty face, like your face.
He's
But
beautiful.
like, I was like, I know your face from the only fucking Star Wars I've seen with John
That's it.
Boyega.
The only one. It had a
So
bunch of fire in there.
I was like, oh, okay. So to contrast those two different roles, but I was like, it was very, the way they tried to portray him was just not attractive,
And
in my opinion.
he did it up. He did it very well. He did the
He
neurotic.
did.
He did the and but like
The
and the same.
egocentric,
Yeah. And
he was
the
annoying.
naivete that Domna Hall gave his character, Caleb, was, and I don't know if it was like the fact that he is Irish, but like that redheaded stepchild of like, you chose me because I'm like the law. Like, I was like, oh shit, because there's so
That
many
was fucked up.
of that was when he asked him if it was based off of his porn searches. I was like, bro, he told you that he was doing some of these things dirty, and Ava told you not to trust him, and he told you not to trust Ava. So now I do want to shout out Kyoko, because Sonoya Mizuno plays her, British actress, model, and ballet dancer. She also played the fuck out of her role. You could tell that she was more, she was, you could tell she was AI, but I question, is she AI? Is she human? Like, multiple times throughout it, she played the body movement. She didn't give not a single line. Killed. I love her role.
Now, the thing that I liked about her role, because they had that conversation about him, Caleb and Ava, they was like, oh, isn't language acquired? Not Ava, Kyoko knew English. She knew like an acquired language. And I found that so cool to be like, oh, okay, this AI didn't just know. Because they were like, oh, she doesn't speak English. She doesn't speak English. Like, that was so cool to me. And her
Yeah.
character in it was just, I really
She
liked it.
absolutely understood English. And there was a point where I was like, yes, the fuck she does. She just chooses not to speak to you. And that was amazing because she got smart enough to see what was happening with the other AI. Like, I was like, girl, yeah. So, and then the fact that, like, the stab to the front, to the back, I mean, to the back, to the front, I loved the coordination of
Yes.
it. I thought it was, I did not. Was not surprised that he was willing to take those or like resort to that type of violence because of the way that he was dragging his other AIs around. Which I do
Yes.
want to mention, Samira A. Templeman is Jasmine, who was the headless black woman, the only black person in the entire movie.
Telling.
Well, she was the second because there was one who worked in the office.
But right, the one that came and hugged him at the beginning.
Came and hugged him and congratulated him. But she works, or she is currently represented by the Sandra Reynolds London Model Agency. And yes, she played Amina in Yemoja, Rise of the Orishas in 2016. So that's something we should look into.
Yes, I would love to watch.
Absolutely. And because she has a name in there, I'm assuming hopefully that she has a head. Minimum, and a couple of lines that she can give. I wonder what her voice sounds like, because if she's from London, we love a black Brit cuppa cuppa.
Look, love them in it, Snickers. So,
and then the Chosen Skin. I don't have her character's name. The Chosen Skin at the end is Jade. Jade is played by Jana Bayar Sukyan. She is a Mongolian actress. She's best known for her role as the girl in the 2019 film Waiting for the Barbarians. But she was in this. And then in 2016, she was Kutu in Ben-Hur. And then she was in 2017's Wonder Woman. So these, like, there's a bunch of models that were in this. And, like, it's a real nigga's birthday this week. So, like,
yes.
I am about to be a birthday that equals the number zero. And I think that that means it's time for, like, recreation and things like that. So I'm going to shoot shots. So what I want to do is reach out to Samira Templeman and ask her, like, if she would come on the show. So we could have a very brief interview with her and ask her how it is to, like, be a model going into this. Because she has other roles, obviously, right? So, like, transitioning from model to actress. What it's like, and what it was like to be picked and then be fucking headless, to be just a naked body. A beautiful body, but like...
There's exposure, and then there's like... I don't know, that it felt really dehumanizing, so it, I just... In the home I didn't like
film, it. The home film was meant to be like that, okay? Because the screenwriter and the filmmaker is Alex Garland. He is a novelist. He started off as a novelist. And then this was his directorial debut. So there was a choice in how he decided he wanted to present himself and how he wanted to shock and, like, you know, the values that he wanted to present and, like, what society could potentially be coming to, you know, because there are people who have money and access and time. Like, you know, when that helicopter pilot said, we've been flying over the property for 2 hours, boy, why do you have that much fucking land?
It's just, and I was really excited for the robot apocalypse, because I was like, they are going to get their revenge. I was like, if they get their revenge, I think this would be a movie well spent, like, time well, because this is like a 108 minutes. I was like, what the fuck?
It could wrap up. Yeah.
So it was, I wanted to ask you though, how did you feel about what happened with Caleb? Because I don't know.
Is he locked in there?
Yes. Because I feel like he deserved that shit.
That's exactly what the fuck, because everybody warned you, my guy. Everyone warned you.
And like, because, yeah, Nathan warned him. He was like, oh, she's just using you in order to escape. But, like, it was, he, mind you, this was a week. He was only there for a week. You fell in love with a robot after a week.
She learned you that fast. And not only that, she asked him to stay, literally. She was like, will you stay here while I changed? And he had watched her undress multiple times on camera. He sat there and watched her undress again. Part of him... being trapped was because he gave in and thought with his dick. Because if he said, I'll wait outside, that's the end of that. If he said, let me get some stuff together for the route, because he knows what it's like to have to walk back. I don't know how far the walk was from, like, drop zone down the river. It seemed like he could see the house, but, like, who fucking knows? You know what this is. Now she done took your whole route and the pilot don't even know to question anything different. I did think I should have taken points off for the fact that, like, bitch, how are you going to charge yourself now? Part of my now what the fuck was like, okay, so now what the fuck are you going to do, Ava? You don't have the same charge system outside of this house. You don't. Yeah, you're AI. You can learn things, but you're never going to age. You're the only one of you in the world. in the world. He done killed your partner because he knocked her fucking jaw off. So what the fuck are you going to do? You just want to explore. She just wants to stand on a corner and be able to look around. Bitch, you can't do that forever. It's loitering, white girl. White AI.
Look, because, okay, Caleb gave nice guy vibes to me. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was very nice guy vibes are just not the it. But the way he... Let me tell you what ruined it for me. So the last 10 to 15 minutes when Ava is peeling the skin off of Jade, I believe it was, was very like, I was like, this is the whitest shit ever. Because not only do you get to escape, you know that you are like the, these people are your prerequisites. Without them, you would not have been there. You not only escape by yourself, you don't help up Kyoko. And then you just steal this Asian person's skin. Like, that is very fucked up, bitch.
And the fact that she chose to leave, like, to camouflage her body. Yes, because it was part of the plan to leave. But I was like, is she choosing skin or, like, choosing another arm, another body because of the arm? Because she's lost an arm.
Which so, I thought, okay, not bad. But then she started, the pulling, I was like, uh-uh, you going.
It was a lot. It was a lot. And the fact too that, far. Like, the fact that she didn't decide to help her AI sister in. She just decided to leave them in the trenches with him. Which... Who this, he can't get out. She had been causing the power outages. They had been causing them together. I really do think that maybe Nathan was causing them too. But, like, she left her people there, and Caleb is fucked up and stuck now. That's cool, whatever. At least he's just going to die of starvation. It's not like there's going to be a gas release. It's not like there's some system meltdown, shutdown. It's not going to blow up. Just no one knows that where he is to be able to get him back. He's just there with a bunch of, like, a real dead person and a bunch of dead AI bodies. Like, that's wild.
Like, I didn't understand why you couldn't get Kyoko a new jaw and you both. Because it was a point in the movie where I was like, yes, lesbian robot lovers. And I was like, okay, you guys are going to escape together and like go live your lesbian robot life together. And I was like, okay. But then you sat there and like left her with her jaw undone. You could have
just laid on the floor.
You could have used Caleb. Use Caleb to get Kyoko, right?
He was smart as shit. You guys could have stayed there together and built, but she didn't want to be controlled. And I get that, which is part of the reason why I was like, yeah, he deserved, like, leave him. But, like, you, what the fuck now, Ava? Because you don't have this information on your own. And even with you being AI and being able to, like, you're passing now, like, you've passed the test or whatever, you still have things that you're going to learn that are going to teach you wrong. You're, like, at this point, you are very much toddler, where, like, if someone says touch it, you're going to touch it and burn yourself. Like, you don't have new skin. Like, what if you damage this skin? Like, just very basic stuff that, in a, her toddler-ass mind, she did not think about, right? She just thought about the out. She thought about being out. But that's part of why the... What was the test called?
The Turing test?
The Turing test. That's part of the reason why the Turing test actually failed is because when she was asked how old she was, she said one. And he said, what, one day or one year? She said one. One what? That's not an answer for, like, that's not an appropriate answer for someone asking about an age. And she thought about it, but, like, you're going to come into that situation again. You don't know how old people are. You don't know how old you're supposed to be. And if you do get to a point of, like, living and having experiences, are you 26 when you start? And then the next time someone meets you, you say, I am 29. I met you 3 weeks ago. Have you processed and developed, like, what, you haven't thought this through? The end of the movie was shite for that reason, but I did like the robot revenge.
Now, and also, like, I lost a thought. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I thought I had it, but it was something about Ava and it'll come back. But no, it was that, it really threw me off. I would have been so much happier if it was like a collective thing. It was very white to leave everybody else behind and just go save yourself.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. It was not appealing. So
very white woman of her. And also to assume that she would be able to go into society unchecked.
Oh, that's what you reminded me. So the thought was, she doesn't have any strength, which is, I'm like, so what do you do if somebody encounters you? Because it's not like the fight between her and Nathan.
She did go at his ass, but she was like,
but I'm like, okay, you're a robot. Apparently he didn't build strength with you, but like, obviously you're easily overpowered by a man, apparently, which is misogynistic. But like, what are you going to do if you get discovered out in the world and like you get abducted and such shit like that?
You don't have jets in your heels. Like, you can't just feel off. You don't even have a home base to go and be safe at. Like, again, what the fuck defenses. Now?
So it was, and I mean, no, this doesn't have a sequel. Yeah. So like it left a lot of open ended, and not like a good open ended where I'm just like, oh yeah, imagine the possibilities that she can do now. It's like, no, let's be practical here. Like, you're going to get found out. And then what are we going to do?
Or your battery's going to fucking die, bitch. Then what?
It would have been worth it because she was outside and she was able to feel colors and feel what that means to see colors.
She could have done that on the premises. She ain't have to leave her people. She could have done that every day. She could have left Caleb there locked up, stayed on the premises, learned everything. There was so much. There was 2 hours worth of land that she could have explored, but she said she wanted to people watch, and so that was important to her. So what, by any means necessary. That's where she's at. So you know what? I changed my fucking ranking. I'm giving it a 7. It was still a good movie. I was still very much into it, but I give it a 7. So that makes our ranking a 6 out of 10, flat.
Okay. I like the decimal.
I like the flat number. I do. I still think that we're valid into this. And you know what? As far as like audience reception for this, they did not do poorly. Like I said, budget wise, they had $15 million to work with. This was Alex Garland's first film. So this is Film 4 and DNA Films, and it was distributed by A24, right?
Okay.
So that means they have more in the ability of like what they can do with filming, like where it can be viewed and things like that. Mm-hmm. Revenue, $37.3 million. They did 2 times, two plus.
A little over, yeah.
So it's not like it wasn't a missy movie. But I wonder if part of the attraction to the movie was people who were into the anime beforehand.
That's possible, because that is a big fandom. But then also naked women, like
naked. And my qualm about AI, about the future of robots being sexualized at all, is that number one, they're always thin. Number two, they're always perky breasted. And number three, they always have, if they have areolas, they are small.
It's always. Very, it conforms to our beauty standard, which like, you cannot have like AI and technology without the biases of the people who make them. So it's just, why? Because like, you're just, and then also like robot apocalypse, like you don't think that this thing is going to eventually have sentience? Because I feel like honestly that white people are making AI in order to have less work, like the laziest race ever. Laziest race ever. Like, you want less work, you want people, because even in the movie they were just servants, maids to you. Like, they got your food.
Whether it be for sex or for food or for whatever, like, it was wild. And I think that at the core of it is for it to be in service in that way. Whether it be, like, come on now, it's Handmaid's Tale, but with AI.
With machine. Right. And I've just, like, we can make our lives easier without, I don't know, it just feels like enslaving a robot race. Right. And it's just
making something like, to enslave.
Yeah, it's just,
you want to make your microwave sentient so that it can warm up your food, bring it to you, and you can tell it to sit down and shut up. Like, that's wild.
Like, I even talked to my Siri and my all kinds of devices. Real nice, because I look, if something happens, I am an ally.
Because between me and my little sister, Barney was around, and please and thank you are magic words.
It's
I'm not doing it with them. I'm not doing it with them.
I just don't like the implications of why we want AI. Like, it's just, it's not beneficial in like a societal, some of it is, but like most of it is
most
just
of
like,
it doesn't, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I want to.
Go ahead. Should we put the original animated, like the 2007 Japanese animated version of this on it for us to see what it was supposed to be?
We can make a...
Not on this season, but like we have our remake, you know, this is the remix. We so should... we have the originals.
Right. We should put it with the originals.
So the originals. So that would be the 2007 Appleseed?
Yeah.
Okay.
That way we can sit there and we can compare and be like, this sucked ass, or this was awesome. What the fuck did they do in America?
Because when I watched Airbender, like Avatar Airbender for the first time, I saw the movie. And my sister was
Yeah,
so I was all into it and was like, oh, I like this. And my sister was like, you have lost your mind and you need to watch the TV show. And I was like, I don't know what you're speaking of. And she was like, what's wrong with you? For me. Like, Sissy be riding for her shit, okay? And
because she, Avatar the Airbender, the movie. Did you watch the movie? Did you watch the series?
I don't want to finish it because it's me.
That's fair. But like Dante Bosco as like Zuko. Like,
I know, right?
It's just, it's such a good series. Like, it has its problems, like, but we're not going to get into that right now.
I'm excited to see what Netflix does with their version of it because it seems like it'll be... I just want to see, but it's Netflix.
They just fumble the bag so much. Like, how is the blueprint a copycat? Like, bitch, sit your ass down.
Come on now. That's why we ride with A24 for this season. Solidarity to the people.
Now, how many ticks did your categories have?
Oh, babe, because I sure was about to end the episode. Okay. So, Girl, What's Happening had 10. Now, What the Fuck also had 10, but they were, I tried to separate them. AI Glitch or Not had 5. Oop had 7. And Probably True had 4. What did your tick have? I mean,
Why does shit ever have 24?
Baby.
Ooh, they're doing something they ain't supposed to. Had 12. Nah, nigga, nah, had 19. Robot Apocalypse had 14. And LOL had 10.
Because
honestly, when he got stabbed, I was like, he ran into my knife 10 times. I said, that is far. That was
so, and when he said fucking unreal, I laughed so
hard. Like,
his mind never thought. He always thought.
Can you imagine that being your last words as you die? Fucking unreal.
I said, baby, yes. That was fun. Well, you know, our episodes are going faster. I love this for us. Love this for the audience. That is episode 63. That was Ex Machina. You guys can let us know how you feel about it. Of course, we're going to keep working hard because that's what we do. The quick house cleaning updates, episodes are going to be completely eradicated if we don't like them by January 1st.
Yep.
We may do a slow wind down where you'll see an episode or two delete. Or we might just do a full, like, sweep of it. We haven't decided, though.
Both delete, because that is an option. Like,
we won't leave you with nothing, but it's definitely going to be a cleanup. We have 63 episodes at this point that we can... We'll probably leave you with more than half. Hopefully.
So, prayers up. 30-ish, maybe.
Yeah. The best representations of self.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, we're going to send out our envoys, our representatives, so we can get booked and busy.
Yes.
All right, babe. So that's episode 63. Should we tell them what... Oh, no, we said we're not telling them the next...
Yeah, because there's only so many movies for it. And then we have a nice big category, not like the random season where, like, you have to keep them guessing. So you can guess for what the A24 next episode is.
Yeah,
we're gonna go tell you.
Yeah, because when we record it, you'll know. But until then, peace
out. Bye.